This is your friend John Walden. We're studying in the book of Jude, and we have now reached verse 7. The book of Jude, as we have already noticed, is a book exhorting the people of God to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It is an attempt by the Spirit of God to draw us back to the truths that have been given in the Word of God. Now, in Jude's day, they were already turning away from the Word of God. Certain men, in verse 4, had wormed their way in and were undermining the truth of the Word of God. This was warned about also in Paul's letter to Timothy. Peter speaks about this. John, in his first epistle, tells about it. And now Jude tells us that just as we have had apostates in the past, so we have now and will have for all of this present church age. We noticed in verse 5 that some of the apostates were people who came out of the land of Egypt. They professed to be the people of God, but were destroyed because they believed not. In verse 6, we saw that there were some angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. We believe that these are the sons of God referred to in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, who took wives from among the sons of the daughters of men, among the children of men. And if it be objected that angels are sexless and therefore are not capable of this, let it be remembered that angels did eat food, and it's necessary for a spirit to take a body if he is to be seen. It's quite possible for spirits to take bodies so that they can eat with men, as they did with Abraham. We have no reason to believe that they can't take bodies in order to cohabit with women, as they were said to do in the 6th of Genesis. This was the reason for the coming of the flood. And now we have the third example in verse 7, even in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. This is the area now known as the Dead Sea, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that is, unnatural sex relations. These are described in Romans chapter 1, both man with man and man with beast. It's unspeakable how vile human beings can get when they turn away from the plan set forth by our Creator. The Lord has given to us some things which are lovely and good, and they have been distorted and warped by man, and the result of their turning against God and against God's ways, in verse 7, is that they are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. A reckless abandon to lust. This was true in the days of Abraham and Lot, and Sodom and Gomorrah received fire from heaven and vengeance against that wickedness. This is true in America today. It's true in the world and the generation in which you and I live. The rebellion against God and against His order has led men into all kinds of unspeakable wickedness. We're told in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers do three things: defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. The defilement of the flesh, of course, has to do with their own actions, with their own bodies. A man or a woman may say, this is my body, I can do with it as I like. But remember that God gave you that body, and that body is the house for your spirit, and you're left here on this earth that you might take the Lord as your Savior, that you might become a child of God, that you might be an educated spirit, that your spirit might come to know the Lord in a better way, and your body should merely be the servant, the handmaiden of the Spirit, in order that you might be an honor to the Lord. These people live for the flesh. They despise dominion, that is, they have rejected God's order, they have rejected God's control. They do not want God to have any control over their lives. And I wonder if I'm talking to someone just now who is saying, if not saying it audibly, saying it by your actions, I want God to keep His nose out of my business. My dear friend, you're making a terrible terrible mistake when you despise the dominion of God over your life. And then they speak evil of dignities, that is, against those whom God has placed in authority. And yet he says, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, and durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now we have here people who, in disobedience to God, brought upon themselves divine retribution. First of all, we have a people in the past who were destroyed. These were the people we read about in verse 5. God destroyed them that believed not. Now, the word destroy in the Bible never means to annihilate, but it means to spoil for its original purpose. We are told, for instance, that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, of course, the devil still exists, but his power has been taken from him. He has been destroyed for his intended purpose. Then we read in verse 6 about some who are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. So there is a future day of retribution, called here the great day. The Bible does not teach a general judgment, but it does teach that there is a day coming when God is going to judge the world, according to the 17th of Acts, by that man whom he hath ordained, of whom he has given witness in that he hath raised him from the dead. Our blessed Lord Jesus is going to be the judge of quick and dead, of living and dead. This judgment is called the judgment of the great white throne and is described in Revelation chapter 20. Believers, Christians, are going to be associated with the Lord in this judgment, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this terrible judgment is still ahead. Now these people are these angels who sinned against the Lord so many centuries ago are now reserved in everlasting chains. They are kept in the bottomless pit. They are reserved unto that day. You see, when a person dies without Christ, this is true of human beings as well as of these angels, when a person dies without Christ, his soul goes to hell. But hell is the temporary place. Hell is the present jailhouse in which souls are kept until the judgment of the great white throne, at which time they have their judgment, not to see if they're saved or lost, because they're already lost, but to see what their part will be in the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is eternal, and we're told in Revelation 20 that death and hell are then cast into the lake of fire. And this is called, in verse 7, eternal fire. I'll call your attention to this again. He speaks about everlasting chains. He speaks about eternal fire. And the same word is used to describe the duration of punishment as to describe the duration of happiness in heaven. The same word is used to describe the duration of God himself. And the lake of fire is just as eternal as God himself. Now, it says that these people at Sodom and Gomorrah are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This means not simply that their village and towns and cities were destroyed and that they lie there in a state of ruin, but it means also that the persons themselves are suffering. They are conscious today in hell. This is a terrible thought. But I want you to know, my friends, that the Lord Jesus went through the sufferings of hell itself for you on the cross so that you never would need to endure the vengeance of eternal fire. There's some very practical considerations for us here. We want to remember that the Lord wants us to be familiar with the faith. He wants us to contend for it and to keep it in remembrance. He wants us to be on guard against the ungodly, to have no confidence in the flesh ourselves, and to keep close to the Lord. Now, he tells us that these people, these filthy dreamers who are defiling the flesh and despising dominion and speaking evil of dignities, should remember that Michael the archangel, great as he was, and this is the only angel called an archangel in our Bible, disputed against the devil about the body of Moses. Now, we wouldn't know about this except for the book of Jude. There is some mention of it made in an apocryphal book, but we have no reason because of that to accept the book as being authentic. It's simply that the Spirit of God took this one bit of information and gave it to Jude to put in the Word of God itself, so that we do know that this dispute took place. The reason for it, we can't say. Some have supposed that it might be in order that Moses' body would be preserved and that he might appear with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration when he and Elias came there. Others have thought that it might be because if the people knew where the body of Moses was, this might result in a kind of idolatry. Whatever the reason, there was a dispute about it, and his rebuke was, "The Lord rebuke thee." You see, we're dealing, when we think of Satan and supernatural evil powers, we're dealing with powers beyond our strength, and we must turn to the Lord for protection and help. Not only is he our Savior, but he is our keeper, and we're perfectly safe in his hands. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our Father, we thank thee for our Savior and for his triumph at Calvary. We thank thee for the forgiveness of sins and the home in heaven and deliverance from eternal fire. We pray for those who are listening just now for thy blessing. In our Savior's name, amen.